Well, grace, mercy, and peace be to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus, the risen Christ. Amen. And happy Mother's Day. You know, just because it is Mother's Day, and because, Mom, I know you will be listening to this later on, I'm going to embarrass you right now. So, I remember there was one time that, not too long ago, I was graduating from college. Yes, big shocker, the young pastor is young. So, I graduated from college around 5 years ago today, and I remember it was a great event. My family was all there. My girlfriend, now wife, Haley, was there as well, so it was a fun time. And after everything was said and done, after we went to the traditional food going out, we got back to the hotel, and my mom sat me down, and she said, "Son, I'm proud of you." So, now what are you going to do? Gee, thanks, Mom. Don't put the pressure on me or anything. She was great in saying that, though, because she was right. Now what? How many times in our lives have we been kind of stuck in that situation ourselves? That feeling that we get after accomplishing something very important, and then the future is there right for us. Whether that be for some, they are completing their high school careers. They're finally done with that. They're done with the 4 years, and now they're going off to college, maybe, or something else. There's that excitement about finishing something old and beginning something new. But in the meantime, there is this period of, now what? How many times when people have moved around going to different areas, they're excited about the new opportunities that a new area will have, but there is that kind of feeling of, okay, everything is done, everything is packed, you're just waiting. Now what? Or how about you're finally done, you've retired. After so long in working, you finally have your rest. So you make all your plans, and after everything is settled down, you go back home, sit down, and you think, okay, now what? That in-between time is something that is so personable for each of us. We've all experienced it in our own ways. And it's important. Because it happened about 2,000 years ago to a group of 12 young men, or older men, if you want to be that specific. I'm not quite sure, but there was a lot of guys there, and they just saw something miraculous happen. I'm, of course, talking about the Ascension. Now, Ascension Day in the church's tradition is a very special day. Usually, some churches will actually hold a special service for it in between the week. In between the weeks. Some also will celebrate it on Sunday. Some might not do it at all. And all those are fine, but the Ascension is a very important part of our faith. It is a time when we celebrate our risen Lord and Savior going back and being seated at the right hand of our Father. It's such a small event, but each gospel, besides Mark, actually would touch on this. And no more so than Luke, who actually talked about it twice. Once at the end of his gospel and the beginning of Acts. And it was an exciting time for the disciples because Jesus was in their midst again. The gospel of John said that if all of the deeds that Jesus did in the 40 days he was there on earth after his resurrection, if all the deeds were written in books, there would be not enough books in the entire world to cover what he did. It was amazing, wonderful. The disciples were full of joy and happiness. And 40 days after Jesus had been risen from the dead, they go up to the Mount of Olives once again. And there, they're all gathered around Jesus. They're all going up this mountain, and they're saying to Jesus, "Okay, Jesus, when are you going to restore the kingdom of Israel to us?" They were thinking that Jesus, being the Messiah, would reestablish the earthly reign of Israel, the kingdom. In fact, that's what the Messiah was supposed to do. But in all the 40 days that Jesus was doing so many amazing things, there was still no restoration. So the disciples were here saying, okay, Jesus, any time you want to do this? You beat in death. Is this really so hard? Jesus turns to them and says these last words to his disciples before he is taken up into heaven. It is not for you to know the plans of the seasons my Father is doing his work. And then he's immediately taken up into heaven after that. Strange, but okay. So the disciples then are looking up. They're seeing Jesus go into the heaven, and they're just looking up and up and up. We don't know actually how long the disciples were actually staring up into heaven. Some might think it was a couple of minutes. Maybe it was longer. Could have been hours. However, it was long enough that God sent down two angels to say to Jesus' disciples who were staring up there, looking up into the heavens, thinking, okay, what's going on here? They're saying, hey, why are you staring up into heaven? When Jesus was with you say that you should go into Jerusalem and that you may be clothed with power from on high? Go back to Jerusalem and do the stuff that Jesus told you to do. And so they went. This is the ascension that Luke gives us. And I want to bring it up today because those disciples were caught in that transition of, now what? Because I am pained to say this, Jesus didn't complete his mission. He didn't finish his job. Yes, he came down to earth and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit. He atoned for the sins of the entire world. He died on the cross. He rose again from the dead, and by doing so defeated the sting of death forever. He ascended into heaven, sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and his job is still not done. It's half done. In the beginning of Mark, which we heard so many weeks ago, we hear the second part of what Christ was here on earth to do. The time is now at hand, and the kingdom of heaven is nigh. Repent and believe in the gospel. And many did. But after all was said and done, after Jesus died, rose, and ascended to heaven, 120 people stood in a room. All that work for 120 people. That was it. Christ's work wasn't done. And yet, he was gone. His disciples were now caught in that awkward, confusing, and sometimes frightening time of, now what? Even though that can be an exciting time, we often also know what it feels like to be caught in a stressful time of, now what? When someone that we have loved so much suddenly passes away, when all the fanfare of a funeral, meetings with all the planners, church services, family members, and dinners, when all that goes, it's now time to sit down and say, okay, now what? Or a time when you might have lost a job, when everything that you thought was so secure is now gone from you, you're sitting here in a chair thinking, now what? When something that you thought was always there, something so simple, can be suddenly torn from under you, or when nothing makes sense anymore, now. I'd like to share another story with all of you. And yes, Mom, this will embarrass you too. It was a very long while ago. I was in the seventh grade, and I was in a very deep depression. It was hard. I couldn't even remember most of the stuff that was going on, but my family did. Each night, my mother would pray to God, asking, begging for him to find some reason for all of what was going on. It seemed like he never answered. Things were only getting worse and worse. I was being bullied more frequently at school. No one was doing anything about it. And so this kind of tension appeared of just, now what do I do? Nothing I am doing is working. Now what, God? It got better, as I am standing here before you now. Many years later, though, I had the courage to ask my mom, what did you do? How could you live with that, and how did you deal with it? It must have been hard seeing your son going through, well, such deep sadness. She looked at me, and she said, it was tough. Not knowing what to do, trying everything and still failing. And I prayed every night to God that he would guide me. It was hard. But one day, I was at peace. And I asked why. And she directed me to this. When Jesus was in his last hours of life here on earth, he was with his disciples. He gave them everything that they needed to know. He taught them, as we have been seeing in John for the past couple of weeks, final lessons. And he concluded it with a prayer for them. In this prayer, there was comfort. In this prayer, there was assurance. In this prayer, there was hope. There was an answer for the now what. Jesus prayed, I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world. I am coming to you, Holy Father. Keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one even as we are one. While I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them. Not one of them has been lost except for the Son of Destruction, that the Scripture might be fulfilled. But now, I am coming to you. And these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in your truth, for your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. In this prayer, Christ was showing and giving us his guidance. He knew that the disciples would be faced with so much terrible sin. They'd be tempted by the evil one when he was gone. They would be put under trial, even killed for his name's sake. And he wouldn't be with them. But he prayed for them. He prayed for them that they would always be guarded. That the Father would look upon them and give them peace. That he would give them the words of truth that he had spoken to them. That no matter what may happen in their life, God would be with them, guiding them, protecting them, loving them. It was this prayer that my mother said for me. It is one I still pray for everyone here at church, for my own family. It is a prayer of hope in a time when things might seem hopeless. is a prayer for peace when the stress of this world and the questions of now what plague our minds. It is a prayer for direction, that when we might not know where we might go in our lives, God does know the paths that He prepared for us, and He will guide them and keep them safe and always in His ways. So there will be places in our lives, the awkward in-between time of now what. Just as the disciples had to deal with it, so we too will eventually all have to deal with the now what. But we have Christ by our side, who prayed this prayer for us, so that no matter where life might take us, no matter what the now what will bring, we have our Savior by our side. We have a Savior who will guard and protect us. And He promises that He will come again. Until then, come soon, Lord Jesus. Amen.